Hanging in there.
Hanging
you know,
in there.
Just making the same phone calls. I know from talking with baseball executives, you know, I've asked some of them, like, how many hours a day are you on, you know, making conference calls? And they, you know, talk about anywhere from 4 to 6 hours, and they feel like that every day the context changes a little bit, and we don't move any closer. And, you know, that's the work-related. The personal-related is that I, you know, because we're all left now to give ourselves haircuts. And I got to tell you, the first time I did it, I did a great job with it, and yesterday... Oh, my God. It was an absolute disaster because I forgot to put that when I used the buzz, you know, the clippers, I forgot to put the proper guard on.
Oh, boy.
And I look much more like than the North Korean leader than I do myself, I can tell you that.
Hey, Buster, real quick, Arnie, I'll jump in with this one first.
Yes, go ahead.
You tweeted out an article the other day from ESPN about the best World Series of all time. I got to ask you, what was the first World Series you ever went to?
Oh, gosh. First World Series I ever went to. It would have to be 1995. I was supposed to go to the 94 World Series, but then, of course, you had the player strike. And so, yeah, 1995, Atlanta and Cleveland, and that was the first one.
What was the most intense one then? I'm trying to go through my years there, but I'm bad
on
years.
Well, 2001, I'll always think, yes. You know, it was such an unusual, horrible, you know, context right after 9/11. And the World Series itself, you know, the drama of the games was remarkable. You know, ending with the Louis Gonzalez's blue pit over the Yankees infield. And I've talked to, the other day, I did an interview with Randy Johnson. A couple weeks ago, did an interview with Randy Johnson, and I think he basically agreed with my assessment that the Diamondbacks dominated 98% of that World Series, and yet they were three outs away from losing that. Right. So there was so much going on in that series and such emotion in the country about that series. So I don't think anything for me will ever match that.
Buster, the Trevor Plouffe July 1st rumor comes out, and all of a sudden now everybody's dispelling it. I mean, we had our hopes up there for a few seconds.
Yeah.
Are you also dispelling that?
You want me to join the parade? Because
yes.
I can tell you, no question, I'll just tell you right now, like, there are a lot of conversations going on, as I mentioned, every day. They have these conversations, contingency plans. But the bottom line is that there are just so many things that they have to work through, and the two sides aren't even really talking right now.
Wow.
You know, at some point, Major League Baseball is going to come up with a plan that it thinks it might work, and then the really hard business starts of trying to work it out between the two sides and trying to, you know, check all the boxes about, okay, how do we take care of liability? What do we do if a player gets infected? Do we shut down a team? You know, does that team go into quarantine? And then all the financial stuff, which, as we talked about in the past, is not going to be easy because I think that, you know, the players are taking the approach of, look, we expect the players to be, you know, to be compensated on a prorated basis based on their past contract, and owners are saying we need salary rollbacks. And I'm telling you right now, they are absolutely preparing their trenches for that part of the conversation. And I've only, you know, touched on just a few of the very, you know, main things. There's so many small details that would have to take place. You know, the other day I talked to a really high-powered an agent who said to me, so, you know, a week ago I was starting to get confidence that we were going to play this year. He said, now I'm losing confidence that we're going to play.
Oh, my God. How long do you think it takes to get all this together? I mean, the stuff you outlined is certainly big stuff. Some of it's minute, but it's all big as well. 3 weeks, a month, 2 weeks? How long does this take even?
Well, here's the thing. If they really are devoted, both sides are devoted to the idea of playing, then I think they could all get it done within a week,
okay,
in terms of negotiating all the different parts and which waivers need to be signed and, you know, how you protect people, where you put testing in, all the various rules and things like that. And I wrote a column a couple weeks ago saying that needs to be the starting point, that the two sides need to start with the premise that, okay, guys, we're going to shake hands now on this. No matter what our differences are, we agree that we are going to find a way to play this year. That is not currently the feeling. Like, I don't think that you have that sense of collaboration and imagination, where there's an absolute devotion to making it happen. As I say, I think they're entrenched for various reasons, and it's why I think you could get it done. I'm not completely confident. I know people I talk to on both sides of the aisle also are not completely confident that they would be able to agree.
Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider, joins us every single week here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com. Scott Boras wrote an opinion piece today in the New York Times, you know, near your market, where you are. What did you make of it? He's trying to get everybody back on the fields today.
Sure he is. You know, and he cited the history of baseball being a needed distraction, whether it's in World War II, Franklin Roosevelt, you know, asking that baseball continue to be played even as the war was going on, or after 9/11, like we were talking about. There are a lot of examples of that, but here's the thing. I mean, Scott's perspective, which he's made very clear, that he believes that, you know, that there should not be salary givebacks, that's a perspective that, you know, helps to create one of the trenches. You know, on the other side, it's the owner saying we are going to need salary rollbacks. So while Scott, in that case, he's right about baseball and Americana, I think the more significant issue is where baseball is going to be, where the players, where the owners are going to be in terms of agreeing on a financial system.
He's not going to like the new numbers, I promise you that. Korean League, though, are you watching? What are you taking away from that? Does it not interest you? What do you think?
It's perfect for me because I got farmer's hours. I'm usually up at 4 every day, so, you know, I have that on this morning as backdrop as I'm writing my story, and actually I'm going to be part of the broadcast tomorrow.
Wow.
Which is why the haircut's going to be problematic. You know, I'm going to drop in on the broadcast, which starts at 5:30 tomorrow, and jump in. And, I mean, at this point, you're looking for any kind of baseball. We're trying to figure out, you know, which team he should adopt. I got the Dinos. I don't know who you guys have.
I got the Lotte Giants.
Yeah, okay.
And I got the Lotte Mets.
A very popular team. The Dinos hit a lot of home runs, so I'll stick with them.
I've got the Lake Monsters. I don't know. So tell us the logistics of your setup tomorrow when you're announcing that game.
Well, I get on a plane in an hour to go to Korea. I've got it. They put a camera in my house about 15 years ago. You guys saw the video last week of the I can't remember what show this person was on. The news person who did the broadcast when he was in shorts,
yes,
or underwear or something like that. I have a similar situation where I've got a camera, got an earpiece. I can hear what's going on. There's a monitor in front of me. And Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez are going to be doing the game from their homes. They have a similar setup, so they're going to be getting a direct feed from the ballpark. I'll be getting that as well, except I'll be, you know, waiting to respond to questions from Carl and Eduardo about all these different issues. My poor kids are going to have to listen, as they say, I go into baseball voice. And I'll be doing that at probably 6:15, 6:30 tomorrow morning.
Wow.
Talking through issues and waking everybody up in the house.
Buster, I actually really liked it the other day where, they were able to bring on an insider like yourself. Jeff Passan was on the other day. I thought that was cool. I liked it how the ballpark brought in fans via Zoom and put them on the big scoreboard at the stadium to give it some semblance of fans. I actually thought that was pretty cool.
They were probably inspired by the NFL draft, right?
Yes.
With the fans of all the teams except for the Chargers, chiming in the background. No, I liked it. I think it's fun. I love the fact that they're able to move forward. Just to put it into context, you know, I think it was on Sunday, South Korea reported 2 new coronavirus cases for the entire country. Okay. That's why when people ask, you know, and try to compare, well, South Korea is a model for what Major League Baseball could do. No, it's not. Because of where we are with the testing in this country versus where South Korea is in the testing in their country.
You know, Buster, obviously it's going to take something away, but I think we could do baseball without fans a lot easier than football, basketball, or hockey. How much of the experience will be, you know, missed without fans?
I think some. It was interesting. The other day, we talked about this in the podcast, that, you know, the other day when you guys watched The Last Dance, the players, Barkley and Magic Johnson, were talking about the most competitive game was actually an inter-squad scrimmage,
right,
with Jordan on one side and Barkley and John Magic woofing on the other side. And you watched video of that, and, you know, of course, what's lacking is the audio from the fans, and you wonder if the players would have to replicate some of the emotion. After I watched that, I thought about that in relation to baseball. You know, we through the years now, we have this culture with the closers where Mariano Rivera, you have Enter Sandman play, he comes in, he gets some extra adrenaline, some juice, and a guy who might have been throwing, you know, 90-91 in the bullpen is suddenly throwing 93-94. I've wondered about that. Like, if there are, especially when it comes to closers, if that's going to be an element that they are going to miss. I don't think it's going to make a difference for hitters. I don't think it's going to make a difference for fielders. But I think for pitchers, absolutely it was a part of it because, you know, they did want that Coliseum feel to it where they're, you know, walking into a ballpark and drawing from the crowd,
right,
and, you know, getting that extra adrenaline when they hit the mound.
Buster, we asked Tom Carey about this yesterday. John Lester is open to a return to the Red Sox possibly. What do you think of that idea?
Absolutely. And, you know, he's a wise old man, and, you know, he knows all about Boston. He knows all about American League East. And we saw with his numbers last year and some of his underlying metrics that, yeah, he's in a different stage in his career. And I bet you John probably feels like he's reached that part of his career where he just wants to go play where he feels like he has the best chance. Now, we've seen a lot of cases with older pitchers. Greg Maddux was the best example of this, where they felt like they reached a certain stage in their career and there was no chance they were going to the American League East. And I do wonder, you know, given John's stuff, if in the end that might, you know, going to the Dodgers in the National League West might be better for him competitively going to the American League East. But, you know, as everyone's always told me, there's no tougher pitcher mentally than John Lester. And so maybe he'd go, you know, I don't care about that. I just want to go back and pitch for the Red Sox. He can. I'm sure that whatever he gets, it's going to be on a shorter-term contract given his age, and he'll have a lot of similar choices.
Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider, with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com. How about over with the Yankees? Good news on James Paxton, good news on Giancarlo Stanton, but the news doesn't appear to be very good for Aaron Judge still. What's going on there?
Yeah, no, it's troubling, you know, because they've been dealing with this thing for months and months and months, and every time when they feel like they're turning the corner, there's some discomfort. And I got to tell you, I mean, you're the Yankees now, and you've had these years of various injuries, and you're talking about a person, as we've talked about in the past, is bigger than the average player, and it's going to raise some more questions, especially at a time when you would expect that moving forward, baseball is going to, you know, see the financial landscape change, and they're going to want, you know, some movement backwards, even if you're the Yankees, probably on payroll level. And Aaron Judge going through arbitration, it's going to set up, you know, for some interesting conversation in the Yankees front office about Aaron and about his history of injuries and which players they're going to want to invest in, given the fact that they have these two massive long-term deals already on the table with Stanton and Garrett Cole.
Buster, I'll let you out of here on this. I wanted to say one more thing on the Korean League. Did you find it interesting that they weren't all doing social distancing? They were still in the dugout. They were still handshaking, high-fiving. Did you find any of that interesting? Were you expecting them to act a little bit differently as players and coaches?
No. In fact, it's interesting. When the first proposals came out, I kind of view them as fairy tales. But when some of those first came out about how it would be handled in baseball, and they talked about, yeah, baseball, they'll maintain social distancing, I'm like, no, they won't. Like, the players, they have their habits, they do their high fives, they're used to handling things a certain way, and I think that'd be very difficult for them to go back. But again, I think it's important to remember that in South Korea, they've got a handle on it in a way that we don't seem to have a handle on it. And so you can high five and spit and do all the things that baseball players do, I think, with a different level of confidence, just because the country seems to be in a really good place when it comes to being able to, you know, have a handle on the coronavirus.
Yeah. By the way, Buster, as we let you go, if there is no season, Does that mean it's a better chance that Cora comes back to manage the Red Sox, or that has nothing to do with anything?
Oh, boy. I you know, and this is a total guess. If I had to guess, I think it actually improves the chances, because then you can go to Ron Renicki. If the Red Sox, you know, internally, at the end of the year, if there's not a single game on which to judge Ron Renicki,
right,
then from, you know, an ownership perspective, you can say, look, we paid him like he was a manager. We treated him like he was a manager. There wasn't a game. I think the problem would come in if not a problem. That's not a best way to describe it. But the complications would come in if they wanted to bring back Alex, is if Ron Renicki's the manager and the Red Sox shocked the world and they go 36-24 or something like that.
Right.
Then I think absolutely they would bring Ron back. But not having a season essentially keeps the slate clean, I think, in terms of you know, what Ron's track record would be as a manager for the Red Sox.
He's Buster on the ESPN MLB Insider. Buster, always a pleasure. Have a good call on the game tomorrow. Looking forward to it. We'll speak to you next week.
I can't wait. I got to do something with the hair before then.
Thanks, Buster.
Thanks, Buster.